Today's a little bit of like a special Lag Bomer shir, even though it's the sugya that we're doing, but today we're going to talk about long payas, curly payas, and payas behind the ears. So why is that a special Lag Bomer shir? Because Lag Bomer is traditionally the time where they do the chalaka. What's a chalaka? No? Not this? What? Yep, Sharon. Yeah, a child is not at his haircut in the Hasidic world for a couple of years. 2 years, 3 years, different minhagim. And Lag Bomer, they go to Kever Rashbi or wherever they go, and they do a chalakah. And what's the whole point of, why do they make a big deal? Why did Hasidim make a big deal out of a haircut? It's a haircut. What do you mean? You take a haircut and you get on with your day. Why is it a big deal to get a haircut? Because when you get a haircut, you're actively doing the mitzvah of payas. Mitzvah payas is normally not a mitzvah you actively do. It's just, you know, it's there. Your payas are there. But when you get a haircut and you dafka, don't touch the payas. Or don't cut off the payas. So that's our active involvement in the mitzvah of payas. So it's a day to talk about the mitzvah of payas. like the melech. Yeah. Yeah, so we don't do that. but at least the Lag Bomer, it's a day specifically, Anuchimra. It's a day specifically for the mitzvah of payas. So what I wanted to talk about today, we already discussed some of the gedarim of halachos of payas, and then today I want to talk about the chumras of payas. We want to study together some of the chumras of payas. And by the chumras of payas, I mean three things. We already talked about yesterday that there's some poskim that hold that they only need to be, each hair only needs to be long enough that you could tweeze them. They grab it with the tweezer, very short. Others are more machmir, has to be long enough that you could fold the hair over, that you could bend the hair over. So why do you see people with like these gigantic payas? What are they doing? If the halacha only requires that you can, if you grab it, you're for sure good. If you can go like this, you're for sure okay. So why do people have gigantic payas? Is it just like a misunderstanding? So number one is, why is it that there seems to be a significant tradition in Klal Yisrael to have very large payas? Second issue in terms of long payas and the chumras of payas, why is it that Hasidim have a tradition to have curly payas? Are there any drawbacks to such a tradition of having curly payas? And third is, you find a lot of people put their payas behind their ears. So is there anything wrong with that, right with that? What's the meaning of that? What's the purpose of that? So I'm not going to get into all the Kabbalistic meanings of what you know a lot of these things might mean. Maybe a little bit we'll touch on it. I'm not going to because I can't. I really don't know about most of this stuff. But we'll at least discuss these three elements. So, first you have a Rambam in a tshuva. The Rambam in a tshuva in Resh Mem Dalet. The Rambam discusses, someone asks about, you know, shaving different parts of the head, behind the ears, the top of the head, the back of the head. So the Rambam writes that in general, when you get a haircut, you have to worry about not only payas, you also have to worry about lo selchu b'chukas hagoy. That you can't act like a guy, you can't get a haircut that makes you look like a guy. But then the Rambam goes on to say that, Rambam goes on to say at the end of the tshuva, l'shitaso, that you're allowed to be megaleach the payas harosh b'misparayim, using scissors, it's only aser to shave with a razor, according to the Rambam, to shave your head with a razor. And he goes on in the last line, he writes, "Ve'en adar v'peos kachal hu mitzvas lo sase levad, ulefichach einu chayav legadlan." Peos is a lo sase. Lo sakafas roshchem, you're not allowed to round off your haircut. But there's no chiyuv to grow them. You're just not allowed to destroy them. Because of Moshe. That's how he signs off. So says Moses ben Maimon. You don't need to grow long payas. Just don't cut them off. So in the view of the Rambam, all these chumras l'chora are completely unnecessary. You don't have to actually have payas. You can cut them off with a scissor. As long as you use a razor. According to the Rambam. It's a very startling shita. Obviously, not everyone agrees with the shita's Rambam. If you look in the Amshul Shlomo and Baba Kama, Nivamas, in Parikid Bei Simin Yudches, What's important to remember is the Torah tells us we're not allowed to cut off the payas, right? The Torah never tells us how long we have to leave. Now the Rambam doesn't tell us how long you have to leave it, because the Rambam holds you don't have to leave it any long. You can just cut it off entirely as long as you don't use a razor. But we don't pass like that Rambam. I mean, even though Mikra didn't, we might, but we're machmir, like the other Shittas and Rishonim, they're not allowed to cut them off. So what's called not cutting them off? How long do they have to be left if you're not allowed to cut your payas? So we discussed yesterday, well, long enough to fold, long enough to yank, long enough to tweeze, long enough. But there's another possibility. Maybe if you're not allowed to cut your payas, it means you're not allowed to cut your payas. And you just got to let them grow and grow and grow. Certainly, if you're not sure what the length is, so why should we be makel and cut at a short length? Says the Yamshel Shlomo, V'roi lahachmir, shelo legaleach kalikr. It makes sense to be machmir, not to be megaleach your payas at all. The milsa lopsikahi. Because there is no shear given in the Torah or in Shas. V'chein yisa ba'aguda v'zel l'shono, m'saprim ke'entar, m'sparayim ke'entar, asur b'rosh. You're not allowed to cut down the payas very short. M'shamachi k'shamagalchan atinokos, m'nichan atzdoin. So when you give a children a haircut, leave their payas. Mashma, says the Yamshel Shlomo, laniach kulo. Doesn't just mean leave to the bone, leave this. Means leave it entirely. V'lo legalchon kolikr lefi she'eino niyodin kama koro yakofa. V'kein kibalti me'adoni mori zikeni. He says, furthermore, I found in the Migdalos, in Hilchos Avos Chachavim, kosur abuseinu, misha manu al datenu, lo avarnu barzal al besareinu, afil b'misparayim klal uklal, lo berosh v'lo beguf minasafa v'lo luchut. Now we don't take any cutting instrument on our payas. Or on our bodies. Why not on our bodies? So that's what we were talking about yesterday in Tevet Alech Shir, because that's lo yilbash keversim l'sisha. Man is not allowed to do things that are feminine, and shaving body hair is a feminine thing to do. It's a tikkun isha. But why not on our heads? Because we don't know kama shiuran, how long the payas have to be. So in terms of classic halachic literature, basic Rishonim ve'achronim, the Rambam leaves us with the impression you can cut him as short as you want, but the Yamshel Shlomo, very major sefer on Shas, Marshal, very early Achron, suggests that it's best not to touch the payas at all, leave him growing as long as you possibly can. In fact, in the sefer Mo'adim L'Simcha, source number 45 over here, he quotes a Hasidic tradition that long payas are a segula for living a long life. He says a story from the Marsham, that when the Marsham was a little kid, Marsham was a great posek in the early 20th century. He was a very big makel also. He was known to be a very big makel, Marsham. When the Marsham was a little boy, he was brought to a great Hasidic Rebbe, and the Rebbe told the Marsham, you know, your grandfather was a very special person. He never cut his payas at all during his entire life. And you should accept that chumrah as well. So he did. Says, quotes a mashal, la'echot shom zekenechum ugudal, yekenegana mashchisim. That we need to do the opposite of the mashchisim. Kenegana mashchisim. Those who are mashchis the rosh, we do the opposite. And we leave them growing and growing. So there's certainly an ample amount of Hasidic tradition to suggest that growing payos harosh is a worthwhile endeavor. Now, is there ever a point where it gets too long, where you're not, you know, like, Marshana, never ever cut it. So like what if you're like tripping on it? Like, is there ever a point where the payas gets along? So certainly, you know, we'll discuss curly payas in a minute, but the idea of curling them may just be practical. Because if you're never ever going to cut them, so they'll get really, really long unless you curl them up. So you curl them up, it like shrinks them, you know? So it could be that's just where curling them came from, that it's an efficient way to never ever cut your payas and not have them like get in the way when you, I don't know, do anything. So I saw a fascinating tshuva, though. I put it in the Maamar Kamos here in source 47. from the Be'er Moshe. The Be'er Moshe, you have to get a little understanding of who the Be'er Moshe was. Be'er Moshe was Deborah Tzina Rav. I think he died in the 1980s, maybe the early 90s. He was a Rav in Hungary and then moved to America after the war and was a Rav in Borough Park. He was, Hasidish and very, very, I don't know the right way to say it, extremely right-wing, I guess you could say. Like, he has a tshuva about whether you can trust the OU Hashkacha. And in his tshuva he says, of course not, because the rabbis there wear short jackets, and I heard they have, like, magazines and televisions in their homes. So how could you possibly trust their Hashkacha? You know, they're holch meguche zakan, they go without a beard. So kind of goyim are these? You can't trust them. He has a tshuva about the Isser to go to study in his Lashon, Be'eze Yeshiva Universita. In some type of university yeshiva. And he says, about Rav Soloveitchik, he says, he doesn't say by name, but he's going to say that there's someone there that's a super genius and gives unbelievable shiurim and he's a gadol b'Torah. So he says, yeah, that's why it's an even greater issue, because you're going to be so enticed by his Torah that you're going to start listening to his hashkafos also. And you're going to end up being a Zionist, and you're going to end up doing all sorts of terrible things like that. So this is the Deborah Tzina. He's a precious Jew. I'm just giving you a sense where he's coming from. Big Talmud Chacham. When I bought the Sefer in the store in Queens, when I lived in Queens, I bought the Sefer from that store right off of Main Street on Jewel Avenue. I don't know if it's still there. Safra? I forgot the name of the store. So the guy at the store told me, oh, he's the Bar Plukta of Rav Moshe. Which means Rav Moshe was makel about a lot of things, and Deborah Tzina was machmir about everything. So he's the Bar Plukta of Rav Moshe. So Deborah Tzina writes a maisa that happened to him. He says, where is it? He says, yeah, if you look in source 47, the first line, he says, Amarti l'bachar echad sheshol osi. So I got the following shayla. These are shaylas I don't get every day. Hayu aviv ha-misnai gamken b'darkei ha-chasidus. He had a father who was also a chasid, Sekana Magudal, had a beard, he looked like a Jew. Peyus rosh ha-aruchos, had long peyus. And his father kept his payas behind his ears. And the father was extremely medaktik in mitzvahs. But the father had one thing that he was very upset at the kid about. The kid had extremely long payas and it drove the father crazy. The child had never ever cut the payas. Utluyos al ksefav ulamata mehem. It wasn't that the payas were on the shoulders, they were way below the shoulders. They were hanging way down and they were all messy. Od harbe, lamata mehem, od harbe, way below the shoulders. Va'aviv mitzta'er al zenit, that made the father crazy. Why? Va'omer shalchein enu motzei shidduch b'avuro. Father says, I have a job, I'm supposed to marry you off, and no girl wants to look at you, because look at you. So no girl wants to look in your direction. What do you want from me? Kibukol bam shebo mitzad hasheni liros v'li ra'os. When you date, where they take the girl and the guy in the room and say, you see that one? You see that one? You're okay? You're going to get married? So anytime we bring a girl to that that meeting to determine whether she wants to get married. Manu v'fiyem shebo v'n kazei inu mevina meichi ala biyado lim tzotar v'lebeso. She says, how's that guy going to earn a living? What job interview is he going to go on and get a job? V'gam he omer she'nena rotze b'balem esnayim bovin k'zem mishunam mikol ha'bachrim ha'mischastim. She says, there's a chassidish yeshiva full of guys that don't look like that. So why do I have to marry that? So the guy, the kid, asked the Deborah Tzina, is my father right or am I right? I'm growing my payas and I never touch my payas and they're wild and they're, gishmak. But my father says, I'm never going to find a shidduch, I'm never going to find a job, and then it drives him crazy. And mind you, my father's a religious Jew. He has his own payas behind his ears, and he has his own beard. But he thinks it's impossible. So what's the Deborah Tzina going to say? So he said, what do you have to do to answer this question? You have to discuss, kibravein, right? Is this, does this fall within the parameters of Kibbud Av V'Aim? Can a parent tell a child, this is how I want you to lead your life? Or can a child say, you know what? This is my life. I can lead my life the way I want. And also, if it's about a halacha, it's about Torah, it's about observance, can a parent say, I don't want you to be makbid on Chadash. I don't want you to be makbid on Chol Yisrael. I don't want you to be makbid on this, that, the other. Can a parent say that? Parent can't tell me not to do a mitzvah, can't tell me to do an aveira. If I want to take upon myself a chumrah, as long as there's some kiyum, there's some reason to take this chumrah, it's not the parent's business. So one could have imagined where he would go about answering this question by saying, we just saw in the Marshal that since there's no shir given for payas, then maybe you should just grow it as long as you can and never ever touch them, and certainly LP Kabbalah, there might be some Indian like this also, to never ever cut your payas. So it's not your father's business to tell you not to grow your payas that way. Let your shidduch be your problem. But if you can demonstrate in some way that there's no kiyum, there's no chumrah, there's no nothing to grow payas beyond a certain length, or to, you know, not keep your payas neatly, then we're back in the realm of Kibbud Av. And something that the father can determine. So the Deber Tzina says, Va'amarti, no, v'yishavti lo, b'ktiras ha'omer. I responded to him, b'ktiras ha'omer, it's an expression that posts can use sometimes. K'tiras ha'omer, normally is spelled with an ayin, omer, cutting of the grains for the korban omer. But when people say, I'll be brief, you know, I'm not going to speak long, they say, I'll speak b'ktiras ha'omer, omer with an aleph. I'll say a little bit, I'll be short in my... So he said, I spoke to him as follows. I said, Hine, Iker din Peyos Rosh Mavorei to B'Shulchan Aruch about Gos Chsam Sofer Kasav Zel Lashonam. You want to learn the din of Peyos Rosh, look in Shulchan Aruch. Chsam Sofer on the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Da'avel gav d'shir peyuhu rak mem sa'aros. Even though the width of your peyos only has to be 40 hairs, where does he get that from? We saw yesterday, that's a Rambam. Mikol makom no'agin u'manichas on the gadol kol sa'aros ba'orech k'dei lochav rosh li karo. We're machmir that we should at least be able to bend it over. All the hairs that go down to the bone. Because of the olam tonam and ichal gadol soros adamata sheyagia adalechi atachton ve'ino emes. Says that people make a mistake and they think that the hairs need to grow long all the way down to the jaw, and that's not true. Umikol makom b'nei beisi v'talmidei anu noagin kein. And but we're knowing that way in my family, says Chsam Sofer. And even though it's a mistake, you don't have to grow them that long, but Kodosh Yomerlo, it's nice. Val Derech Kabbalah, they quote from the Ariya Kadosh, that he wouldn't grow his payas longer than his beard. He would cut them to the point where the beard would stop. He wouldn't grow the payas longer. So he says, what do you see from here? Bein b'derech nigla, bein b'derech ha-kabbalah, shir orech ha-peyos, lo ha-yum yisof alach yatachton, shusof ha-panim. Even the chumrah of peyos is only till the end of your face. Once you're beyond the end of your face, you're not even being mekayim anything. That's what he says. Both alpi nigla and alpi nistar, you're not being mekayim anything once it's past your face. So once you have that you're not being mekayim anything, says the Deber Tzina. So now, your father's asking you to cut your payas. Why is he asking you? Not just because it annoys him, but because you can't find a shidduch. It's your problem. No, it's not your problem. Because the halacha is that one of the things that a father has to do for a son is marry him off. And you're making that impossible for him, and that's not fair. You shouldn't make it impossible for him. And not only that, if a child does something that causes his parents to be concerned and worried, that's a violation of Kibbud Av V'Aim. You're going to go to a place that's dangerous. Let's say you have a friend who was getting married in Baltimore or something, and you want to drive to the wedding and back the same day. This happened to me a few times. So you want to drive to the wedding and back the same day. And your mother says, I'm nervous about you driving alone. I don't want you to drive alone. Late at night, so much driving, one day, I'm going to be a wreck until you get home. I'm going to be a nervous wreck. I want you to take someone with you, go with somebody, do something else, take a train, something. Is there any mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Aim to listen to your mother in that situation? So Deborah Tzina says, from Sefer Chassidim, causing your parents worry is a violation of Kibbut Avim. Kibbut Avim is not only acts of service. If you cause them agmas nefesh and worry, that's also a problem of Kibbut Avim. So he says, you're causing your father to worry. So you think you're being such a good guy, you're being machmir in one direction, on the mitzvah of payus, you're being a terrible guy. Because you're being makel on Kibbut Avim. That was the Deborah Tzina's response. What we see from the Deborah Tzina is that at a certain point, it's no longer the mitzvah of payus, even the chumrah. Now Rabbi Kohn told me the other day that there's an inyan that the payus represent the moach over the lathe. That as much as our heart burns with passions and desires and whatever, the Jew's job is to keep his brain, his head on straight, and make sure that the moach is moshel over the lathe. He says that's why the payus start right b'makom ha-moach, and the chumrah of payus is to extend down to the lathe. I think he quoted from the Kutzker like that. I don't remember who he quoted from. But if you say it like that, then there is some sort of inyan al-pi Kabbalah that it should go past the shoulders, at least ad ha-lev, at least to the heart. Beyond that, no. And there would be no inyan l'chara to keep them messy. Yeah, you can keep them neat to go out of lev also. But the Deborah Tzina Tain is not that way. Tain is that there's no inyan al-pi nigla or nister to go past your face. For the pay is to go past the length of your face, which I found very interesting. Now, it should be noted, I think, in today's whole discussion, there are clearly two dinim of payus. There's the din of payus of not looking like a guy, that you shouldn't look like an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and that's what we've been discussing for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. And then there's an inyan of payus, the Kabbalah inyan of payus, which is to look like a Jew. To have a specifically Jewish look. Not just not to look like a guy, but to have a specifically Jewish look. That's not halacha, that's the Kabbalah inyan of payus. And that's where all this stuff comes in. The long ones, the whatever, you know, that's the being a Jew, having a tzura of a Jew. And then Deborah Tzina quotes a fascinating maramakom. First Mishnah Maseches Peah, you know what the first Mishnah Maseches Peah says? Say it every single day. Elu dvarim she'en lahem shir. Ha? Peah. What's that about? It's not about payas. Ha peah is the corner of your field. Right? It's ein lahem shir. You could leave off as much of your field as you want for payah. So he quotes a Malach HaShlom on the Mishnah. Why doesn't it also say ha peos? That there's no shir to your payas? That it can be as long as you want it to be? Isn't that also ein lahem shir? So Malach Shlomo, apparently on the Mishnayos, I should have looked this up, I just saw it in Deborah Tzina's Tshuva, he says, it doesn't say Epeos, because for the same reason it doesn't say Truma. That's what Malach Shlomo says. So what does that mean? Says Deborah Tzina, I'll tell you what it means. Halacha is, when you give Truma, you need Shira and Ikarin. Let's say I have 100 bushels of wheat, and I want it all to be Truma. There's no minimum Shira or maximum Shira of Truma that you're allowed to give in the Torah. We recommend 2% roughly to give Truma. But let's say a guy says, I want everything, I want the whole thing, I want all to go to Truma. All go to the Kohen. Halacha is no good. You got to leave something for yourself. If there's nothing left over, it's not Truma. So says Deborah Tzina that the same is true by payas. That's what the Malach Shlomo is saying. The same is true by payas. You can't have it all payas. So how do you understand that? So there are two ways to potentially understand it. One way to understand it is that you can't have it just grow and grow and grow and grow. You got to cut some off just to make it that, you know, not everything is the payas. Pashtus, that's not what he means. Pashtus, what he means is that all your hair shouldn't be payas. What do you mean? All my hair can't be payas. The makom of the payas is only a portion of my hair. Yeah, when you shave the rest of your head, leave something else besides the payas. Because it shouldn't all be payas, just like it shouldn't all be truma. That's what the Malach Shlomo is saying. Like the Hasidic haircut of cutting everything else off, shaving everything else off, and just leaving payas. He says, maybe not such a good idea. I don't know. It's very non-halachic kind of comment. Doesn't seem like that's at all pshat in the Mishnah. You know why the Mishnah doesn't say payas. Where is the curly payas? What's that about? So, it's very common, obviously, by Hasidim. But it's not so pashat la-halacha that curly payas don't cause their own problems. In Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he writes that you shouldn't curl your payas, especially with curlers on Shabbos, because Gemara on Shabbos of Sadidal and Beis associates shaping one's hair with the melacha of bone. So when you curl payas, you're giving them a permanent shape. When you braid your hair or anything like that, it gives it a permanent shape. And that's a violation of bone on Shabbos. So in Shmir Shabbos, in a footnote, he tries to justify the minhag to curl the payas on Shabbos. He says that maybe if you always curl your payas, so your payas have taken on a certain shape already. So when you're recurling them, you're just strengthening the shape that already exists. You're not creating a new shape. And therefore, he says it's like Mosav Alo Al Arai. Like in the Malach of Bona, what? Not a Malach. He says, in the Malach of Bona, the Malach says they have an awning and it's partially opened. You're allowed to open it the rest of the way. So you have a payas that already partially curled, you're allowed to curl the rest of the way. Rav Sturmbach and the Chuvin, Chuvusan Agus, Chelik Aleph, Sim Reish Chav Tes, is ridiculous. That's not true at all. We never find the rules of Oel Arai relating to the Malach of Bona on the hair. The Malach of Bona on the hair is a chiddush, that there even exists such a Malach of Bona on the hair. But you certainly can't then go applying the Halachas of Oel Arai on the hair. So he doesn't like that justification at all. Not only that, Rav Sturmbach writes in Chuvus on Agus Chelik Aleph Simin Reish Chav Tes that there's another problem, in addition to the problem of Bona with curly payas, and that is the people who have curly payas tend to go to the mikvah on Shabbos also. And when you come out of the mikvah, you have soaking wet payas, and people like to squeeze the payas after coming out of the mikvah. You're not allowed to do that. Schita. Not only that, by force of habit, people with curly payas, what do? When they're bored, they twirl their payas. You can end up pulling hairs out of your payas on Shabbos. So it's going to be a problem in Shabbos, pulling the hairs out. So in Chuvasas Nidbaru, he said, "Whoa, calm down on the curly payas, guys. Let's let's relax on them. Go easy on the curly payas." He says, "If they're twirling their payas all Shabbos, it's not a psik reisha that they're going to pull hairs out. It's not like when you comb your hair, where it's a psik reisha. We pass on Shulchan Aruch and all that comb your hair on Shabbos." And Chuvasas Nidbaru, he says, "Not so convinced that that's going to happen." Additionally, in Orchos Rabbeinu, it says the stipler, that a Yemenite boy came to the stipler with very long payas, and he told the stipler that he's always playing with his payas, and he always finds himself like with a handful of hair on Shabbos, because he's playing with his payas, and pulling and pulling and pulling, and he has, so he wants to know, should I cut my payas to avoid the Yisr Shabbos? So the stipler gave him Eitza that he should put his payas under his yarmulke, do something else. He didn't think that he should violate his tradition. So apparently there's some maila to continue that tradition. Rabbi Yamin Zilber and Tshuva says there's another issue. He says if you're curling hair, where do we have curling hair in Tanakh? That someone is, or Chazal say about a very famous biblical figure that it was Misalsal Basaro, and it's not viewed as a positive thing. What? Before that, Yosef, Hunar, Rashi says he was Misalsal Basaro. So curling hair in general for a man is viewed as vanity or whatever. So in Chuvasas Nidbaru he just writes, you better be really L'Shem Shemayim if you're curling your payas with curlers or whatever. It has to be completely L'Shem Shemayim. Because when Salsa Basaru in general, he's not, it's my brother's Purim Torah. My brother once said that when Yosef meets Yaakov, so Yaakov is, Yosef is Kari, Yaakov is Kari Kriyashma. He says, Yosef hugs and kisses Yaakov. Yaakov doesn't hug and kiss Yosef. So he says, because Yaakov was being Kari Kriyashma. So it must be that it was man Kriyashma. Well, then why wasn't Yosef saying Kriyashma? So Yosef was Misalsal Basaro. What does it mean, Misalsal Basaro? Obviously, he was a chassid. So he's curling his payas. A chassid doesn't have Zman Kriyashma. He could say Kriyashma later. There's no Zman. All right, I don't think that's pshat. Now, what about behind the ears, putting the payas behind the ears? So it's a fairly common practice. In America, more so than in Israel. In Chutzlar, it's more so than in Israel. Rav Menashe Klein in the Chuvus Mishnah Halachos Chelik Zayin Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph says that if you put payas behind the ears, you're showing that you're ashamed of your payas. He doesn't like it at all. He thinks that it's counterproductive. You're going to grow these long payas because you're so proud to be a Jew, then you can put them behind your ears like you're hiding from your Judaism. Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Orchos Yosha says that when people would visit the Chazon Ish, so he says, first of all, if people would come shaven, you know, with the shaved beard, the Chazon Ish would want to throw up. That's the lashon he uses. He rotzel lahaki. He literally wanted to throw up. He was so disgusted by it. But when people come with pesach on the ears, he was very upset. Why are you embarrassed? Shouldn't be embarrassed from a mitzvah. He didn't like that they were similar to what the Mishmur writes in Simon Ches, Sivkan Chavav, about tucking your tzitzis in your pants. That a reason also, you should see the tzitzis. The tzitzis should be something you should be proud of and see. So Mishmur says, to hide it away is like a bizayin to the tzitzis. So what's the counter argument? Rabbi Binyamin Zilber in Shuvas HaZidber, Chelek Yud Beis, says that when he came to Eretz Yisrael in 1933, he came across a sefer called Chatzva Amudeh HaShiva. And this sefer strongly criticized the idea of wearing payas behind the ears. And Rabbi Zilber says he doesn't agree with that at all. He doesn't think that the criticism is a fair criticism. He says, first of all, by tzitzis, it says Urisa Masa. It says that you're supposed to see them. There's no din that you have to see your payas. The din is that they should be there. That you should grow your payas. And second of all, he said, people see the payas when they're behind your ears. They're behind your ears, but they're just not in the way. So they won't get in your way, but they're still seen. So he says, and besides, this whole thing is midas chasidus. How long does your payas have to be? Enough that you could fold over, you know, each hair. A number two haircut, you know, l'chumra. So for someone who's already being so machmir, you're going to criticize? In the Sefer Ma'adim L'Simcha al-Pi Kabbalah, he cites a practice that people who normally keep their payas behind their ears would pull them out from behind their ears during davening. So Rabbi Binyamin Zilber in that tshuva points out that it seems to be based on a passage in the Zohar that says that payas shouldn't be, you know, says something about payas being behind the ears during davening. But he said that if you look carefully at the Zohar, Rabbi Binyamin Zilber believes the Zohar is saying the opposite. He says that what the Zohar is really saying is that the payas shouldn't block your ear canal when you're davening. So a lot of times people do, they try to be Mekayim the Zohar, they pull the payas out from behind their ears when they daven, and then the payas is right in front of their ears. Rabbi Yom Zilber Tain is that's worse. That's a real violation of the Zohar. The Zohar says that they shouldn't be in front of your ears, they should dafka be behind your ears. Okay, so a little bit about the extra chumras of payas. So whatever you do. What? What do you do? La halacha, you just have sideburns. You want to be extra mach? Maybe you can do whatever you want. I don't know from these things. Ask her back home.